2 Chronicles 29. Turn there in your Bibles. We're going to read a little bit out of the Word of God this morning. I'd like to see some revival. I'd like to see some revival. I'd like to see some revival in our homes. I'd like to see some revival in our church, in our families, and so on. And, you know, when I started preaching on this Hezekiah thing, I had, you know, maybe 4 messages. You know, I was going to run through it. I preached this before. I've never really just gone into the detail that I'm at. And I'm not looking at this deliberately trying to find a message out of here. I was looking at this the other day, and God just got a hold of me here with something that just really, I mean, I was really brought under conviction by it. And I started looking about it, started praying about it and thinking about it and everything like that. And boy, how true this Bible is. And I never really, I've read this verse. Every time I preach these messages, I've read this verse. And this never really got a hold of me until just recently. And it just really, really got a hold of me. And I love you men. I love being a man. I think it's the greatest thing in the world. Now, if I was a woman, I'd love being a woman. Amen. But I like being a man. And I like the way that God, the gifts and the blessings that God has given us, but we also got some baggage and some curses hanging on us that we're just going to have to shake loose and move on. Because I figured out a long time ago that when the devil comes after me, he's not trying to get me. I figured that out a long time ago. And I'm going to show you what I mean here in a little bit. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 1. The Bible says, Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Man, I want you to just pray about being Hezekiah this morning, okay? He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father had done. See, he had a good role model, had a good granddaddy to look after. And he, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests, the Levites, and gathered them together and unto the east street. And he said unto them, Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. This church would be a type of the holy place. Okay? And God considers it to be a very special place. Verse 6, For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken Him, have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. Also they have shut up the doors of the porch, and have put out the lamps, and have not burned incense, nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and He hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, and to hissing, as ye see with your eyes. Verse 9. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword. I want you to consider that part right there, men. Our fathers have fallen by the sword. And our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. I want you to think about that and pray about that, all right? I'm going to deal with you like men. I'm not going to treat you like boys, and I'm going to treat you like women. I'm going to treat you like men today, and I'm going to talk to you like men need to be talked to. Okay? You just talk to God and say, God, help me with this and help me with issues in my life. Heavenly Father, I love you. I thank you, God, Lord, for everything that you've done for me. Lord, it would be a sin and a bold-faced lie for me to stand here, God, and tell everybody how good I am and how good they need to be like me. God, I'm not like that. I can't say that. I can't do it. God, I'm like everybody else here. Lord, I love these men. I love it when they come sit down in my office and we chuckle and have a laugh and talk up, God, and it's just fun being with them. Lord, if anybody, I need to stand by my side. I believe these men would come and do it for me. And I thank you for that. But Lord, you put me as the mouth here. as the under-shepherd of the great shepherd. And Lord, I just have to say some things, God, that I don't like saying. Lord, I'd like for me and everybody else, Lord, to just read the Bible and do what it says and not have to worry about it. But God, that's not how it really is. That's not how it is with me. And I know, God, it's not how it is with everybody else. Lord, I'm not preaching this, God, to shape everybody else up. I'm preaching this, God, to shape me up. And Lord, you're our God, but you're our Father, and you're a man like us. And so, God, we want you to talk to us the way we need to be talked to and told some things the way we need it told, God, because our wife and our children are counting on it. They're counting on us. And if we fall by the sword, we know what's going to happen. So, Lord, just help your men today. Lord, in this church, would you build strong men? Lord, would these men stand strong for their families and protect their families? Lord, we need strong men in this country. We need strong men in our homes, strong men in our churches. But Lord, if we fall by the sword, we're good for nothing. And they'll come get our wives and children. Lord, bless your word today and help me to preach it, God. I don't want to, but Lord, help me to preach it. Lord, be honored through your word. Bless us and help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Several years ago, wasn't too long after I became pastor here of this church, and a lot of folks, maybe some folks here that are new, you don't know the story about how I became pastor, and I don't like to relive it and I don't like to tell it, but it was a bad time. And the devil went after the pastor that was here in a pretty bad way. And it left us with a lot of scars, and it was just a lot of bad times. We don't like to talk about it. We don't like to think about those days. But it went after our pastor here and took him. And I was the associate pastor then, and everything just kind of landed in my lap. And at the time, I didn't even want to be pastor. I had nothing to do with it. We had a school, and it was doing pretty good, and I was running it, and I was fine with that. And would have just left it there. We went on a little deal looking for someone to come in and be the pastor. And it just didn't seem God was in that direction, and we kind of waited on the Lord a little bit, and then I became the pastor here. Not too long after that, a little while, maybe a year or two, just some things hit me, and I mean they hit me really hard. And I didn't really know what it was then. I mean, I didn't really understand it. One of the things that I know for a fact was that God was standing there with me. And he wasn't going to let me fall. It's just that he wanted me to experience some things so I would know what's going on. And I could, you know, I could stand up here today and preach it to you. I mean, I know what it is now, and I know how it works, and I know how God blesses. But I went through this deal where in my mind I had decided that everybody was against me and that I didn't belong here anymore. I need to leave. And it was such a spiritual, and there were spirits involved. They were hitting me so hard that I felt like I had to just leave everything. And I don't mean just resign the church. And I mean get in a car, grab some suitcases, and run off. Leave my family, leave everybody. And I had a place in this church. I used to go back here behind the baptistry where nobody could find me. And I'd get back down in there and pray. And I prayed. I cried and everything else. And God, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what's going on. And I mean, just every emotion was running over me all at once. And then the Holy Ghost is so good to be there with you. And I've always said this, and I'll say it till I'm dead. The Holy Ghost loves to quote Scripture. So the Holy Ghost spoke to me, quoting Scripture, and said, "Smite the shepherd, and the sheep will scatter." And when I heard that and I thought about that for a while, I went, that's what it is. That's exactly what's going on. He's already smitten one shepherd out of this church, thinking that he could have the church. He's coming after me now because I am a barrier to the devil from coming into this church and ruining it and taking it in a different direction. I'm a barrier to that. I'm not any better than anybody else. I'm not superior. I'm not the chosen man of God. It's just that God put me in a position to stand in a doorway, and the devil wants to come in and take this church the way the devil has taken all these other churches out here. Can I get an amen out of somebody? Mark, I read your email. God bless you, buddy. Okay? I appreciate you saying that. We're surrounded by churches that do not honor the Word of God anymore, and I guarantee you the devil wanted to get in this church and take that away from us. He wanted that. That's why he was trying to get me to step aside and get out of the way. And I hate to say it almost worked, because I know that God was standing there the whole time. But when it dawned on me that that's what was going on, I thought, he's not after me. He's after this school. He's after that daycare, but he's after this church. He wants to ruin this church. He's not after me so much. He wanted my wife, and he wanted my daughters and my son. He wanted my children. And when that dawned on me, I did. I was back there, and I was all hunkered down, crying, everything like that. When that hit me, I stood up. I mean, I just stood up, and I said, it ain't going to happen. And I went into prayer over that issue. God, make him go away. Make that devil, whatever that is, make those spirits go away. Get them out of here. And God spared my family. God spared this church as a result of that. There's been other times when, I mean, there has been a foul spirit on me. I mean, bad. Same thing. Trying to get me out, trying to run me off, trying to get me to leave, trying to get me to fall somehow, some way. And I've learned to just pray through it. I've talked about it with my wife. She kind of knows when that happens. Hadn't happened in a while, but who knows, it'll probably happen again. And just aware that the devil wants to destroy my family. He's got to go through me to do it. Men, God put you as a barrier and a blockade to guard over your family, physically and spiritually. Hey, stop and think about it. Some weirdo comes breaking in your house knowing that your wife and daughters are there. Is he looking at you?
No.
Is that weirdo looking at Jim? Listen, you'd have to be pretty bad off to be looking at Jim. Amen. He's going after his wife and daughter. Jim's going to stop you. Jim is going to stop whoever comes after his family. Jim's going to stop him. And his family knows that. His family has put themselves under his roof, under his protection, in his house, behind his gun. So the weirdo, the thief, or the thug, or whoever it is, knows if they can get through him, they can probably handle these. I don't know. She's been training. Okay? She might be a handful. Yeah. But that's how it works right there. You see that? Now, men, I want you to listen to me. The physical, the spiritual realm is no different than the physical. You are a barrier to your family. The devil wants your children. He wants to ruin them. He wants to take their head and twist them around so much that they believe they came from monkeys. They can believe they can be sodomites and everything else in the world. They believe that. That's what he wants to do to your kid's head. He wants to ruin them. And men, if you have fallen by the sword, look at that verse. If you have fallen by the sword, then your sons and your daughters and your wives will be in captivity because of this. That's what hit me. And I just sat back and I just shook my head and I said, God, that's how it is. There's a barrier to this church. It is called a pastor. It could be somebody else. It could be me. It doesn't matter. A pastor is a barrier and a blockade and a wall of protection around a church. And the devil cannot move except he works through that pastor. This is why one pastor after another in this country has fallen away. It worked. It worked really well. Now you got whole congregations all over the place that are believing everything in the world except what's in this book. It worked exactly that way. And I know that and I realize it. And even us knowing it, sometimes that don't keep us. Because if God don't keep you, you ain't kept. Okay. And so the fact that God's blessed my family so much is that God has put me in a place and He's helped me stand there. Or this church is that God has put me here and He's helped me stand here. Because I don't know that I could stand on my own. In fact, I know I couldn't stand on my own. So that's how things work, guys. And the problem is, us knowing that, well, that might help us a little bit. But the problem is, there are too many swords out there that we could fall under and fall by. Too many swords, too many different ones. Not every man in this church is exactly made the same. So there's different things in the Bible that God's going to show us today. Job 19:29. This is just to show you what I'm talking about. Be afraid of the sword, for wrath bringeth the punishment to the sword, that you may know there is a judgment. So if there is a sword out after you, Brady, I'm going to say men's names. That don't mean I'm singling you out in the whole church. Okay, you filthy infidel, you Brady. A sword is something to be afraid of. If a guy comes up to your apartment and you're looking through the little deal there in the door, you see him standing there with a double barrel shotgun like that, you're going to open the door for him? I'd be afraid. Okay? Be afraid of the sword, for wrath bringeth the punishment to the sword, that you may know there is judgment. Job 33:14, for God speaketh once, yea, twice. I love that. That's Old Testament, New Testament. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men and slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction. Verse 17, why does he do that? Why do we have a Bible? That he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. The fact, Jared, that you haven't fallen yet, it's not been your own intellect, it's not been your own pride and strength, it's been the Holy Ghost that has helped you all this time. It hasn't been you. Give credit where credit's due. Somebody say amen. And listen, if God wants some good men in this church, He doesn't want you full of pride and arrogance either. You know how God wants you? God wants you real humble. God wants you real meek. That's how God wants you. Because pride comes automatically with the muscles, doesn't it? And the deep voice. So that's automatic. We don't have to ask God to help us be proud. We're proud just because we're taller than our wives, most of us. Okay? We're proud. We got it automatically. God don't want us that way. He wants us mild and humble and meek. I didn't say weak. He wants us meek. He wants us to realize that we can't do it without Him, guys. We can't do it without Him. So why are we trying? Why do we try to do it without Him? We can. God wants to hold us back and keep us from the sword. Let me show you what some of those swords are. Psalm 17, verse 8. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. I want you to notice this. From the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. This sword here is a circling sword. It will be in a man's life what he is surrounded with. And so I want you to think about that for a minute. I want you to think about what destroys a man. What destroys a man is what, in many cases, he chooses to surround himself with. You surround yourself with barmaids and bar liquor drinkers. Every bottle has got a sword in it, and it's going to destroy you. Or, well, this is the 21st century. You hang around methamphetamine people, and they're going to destroy you. You hang around drug addicts, they're going to destroy you. You hang around people that don't think right, they're going to destroy you. A man should surround himself with the Word of God and with church people and with his family. That means, and I don't know anybody in this church does this, but we got some people listening, so I'm just going to preach to everybody, and maybe somebody it'll stick. That means you don't go running out to the pool hall every 3 or 4 nights in a week. You're surrounding yourself with the pool hall men. You're surrounding yourself with drunks. That means you don't go to certain meetings. You surround yourself with people who do not think the way the Bible thinks. And you surround yourself with those people. They are encompassing you, and the devil is meaning to destroy you with those people. Or I'll say this. I would even be careful who you associate with online. Online's a new meeting place now. Watch it. They're going to circle you. They're going to compass you about. Verse 10. They enclosed in their own fat, with their mouth they speak proudly. They now have compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth, like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him. Cast him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. Hey. You know what else we like to... We circle... Watch this now. Men... We circle ourselves or encompass ourselves or enclose ourselves in with the entertainments that are in this world. The entertainments that are in this world. If you honestly take a listen to what has been playing over your radio, write those words down and compare them with Scripture, you'll find out that it's wrong. And I'm not drawn to a lot of things nowadays, but I remember I grew up on country music, and some of that old country music I still like. You know what I hear when I hear most of that old country music? Bar drinking, running around cheating on your wife, going to prison. I mean, you name it. Everything that we're supposed to be against in our life, that's what we're circling our minds with. Circling your minds with music, entertainment, movies. What are you renting? What are you getting from the Red Box? What are you getting from the internet movie companies? What are you getting from there? What are you downloading? What are you watching? What are you reading? All that stuff is you've been circled by the wicked in your life. You won't listen to clean music. You won't listen to godly things. You won't listen to preaching. My good, listen to me. And we got in the pump. Jim, pull your phone out. Right there, in that phone right there, is every good thing that Jim needs in his life, but it's also every wicked thing that he's got that he doesn't need in his life is right there available to him. And we run a radio station, we put stuff out on the internet. I mean, I'm spend all week long running my mouth telling you what's inside the Bible. We won't listen to that stuff. We'll listen to Willie Nelson. We'll listen to Waylon Jennings. We'll listen to everybody else. But we will not listen to the Word of God when we can have it surrounding us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You wonder why you have thoughts about leaving your wife and kids? Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. From men which are thy hand, O Lord, from the men of the world which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy head treasure, they are full of children, and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. Did you notice this? From men which are thy hand. The wicked sword that God brings against us is by the hand of Almighty God. He either can cause them to have us fall, or he can hold them back for us. It all depends on you and what you want. If you want the fleshly appetites of the world, I'm sure God will turn you over to it. if that's what you really want. And He'll surround you with that. Psalm 37:14. Watch this now. The wicked have drawn out their sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to, watch this, slay such as be of upright conversation. Watch this. Let's say Jared, he's been coming to church now. And again, I'm not picking on, okay? Jared's coming to church and boy, he's listening to the Bible and everything like that. God's blessing him. God's blessing his family. And the devil says, well, I'm gonna take care of this. I'm gonna try to get him out. So he's gonna start working on Jared. He's gonna start circling him around with people that are telling him stuff that are not in the Bible. He's gonna go back to listen to Highway to Hell. He's gonna go back. You see him listening to that now, and now something ain't right. He's not listening to the Lord's song anymore. And now watch this. Now I know Jared, and I know Jared loves this book. All of a sudden now, he's got something against the book. He ain't sure about it anymore. And all of a sudden, he starts hearing stuff from some people at work and some family members and whoever. And he starts hearing stuff from this and that and the other. And all of a sudden now, he's saying to himself, you know what, that church is a scam. I ain't going back no more. Here's what happened. The sword slew such as be of an upright conversation in his life. Instead of him regarding the preaching of God's word as a thing to be needed in his life and essential for him and his family, he has now decided to turn his back on the church and on the Bible and on prayer and everything else. What's going to happen? What's going to happen to his family? I guarantee you, when the devil starts working, he will do one or probably all of these things hand in hand. You see, when he starts hitting you with wickedness and circling you with wickedness, he knows the only anchor that's holding you to God is this Bible and the preaching of God's Word. So if he can get you to unhook the anchor, he's just about got you. You know what we need? We need some men that will read their Bible. Amen. We need some men that will get alone every now and then and hold their Bible and clutch it tightly in their hand and weep and say, God, don't ever take this away from me. Don't ever. Please, God, don't ever make me lose what I believe about this book. God, please don't do that. That's what we need. We need that in our families. Your wife, hey, guys, your wife is counting on you. Bless her heart. I love my dad. I love my dad. I wish I had him back. But my mother is the one who was responsible for me being spiritual, not my dad. My dad had an obligation to fulfill a role in my life. And he didn't do it until late in life. He regretted it, and I regretted it. Dads, you're not a man. Don't let the world con you into that nonsense. You're not a man if you won't bend your knee and cry and weep before a holy God. You're not a man if you won't pray. You're not a man if you won't read this book and learn from it. Stand up for your family, will you? Stand up for them. Don't be a coward. Don't back down. And don't slay such as be of an upright heart. Don't destroy righteousness in your own life and in your own family. Psalm 57:4. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. And then he says in Psalm 64:3, who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their arrows to shoot their arrows, bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. Now this goes along with circling your life with ungodly influences, ungodly music, ungodly entertainments, ungodly friends, circling your life with them. Eventually, the words that come out of their mouth are going to be like sharp swords. And the devil is going to use even your family members and your friends to destroy your spiritual life and to get you out of church. I've seen it. I've been here a long time. And some of the men that I looked up to as a young boy in this church are not in church. Some of them are even dead now, having left, having walked away from everything. They are dead now. One man in particular walked out. He was in this church when I started coming, and then all of a sudden he ain't showing up no more. And his daughter told me that God, he was under conviction the old time. He even saw him get ready for church one Sunday morning, and then he took a suit off and went back to bed. And in 2 or 3 weeks, that man was dead. Drunk one night, too drunk to drive in a fog over here on 110 Highway, and killed himself. His wife, his two daughters, and his son were never the same after that. The sword destroyed this man. Something happened and he got bitter or something. I don't know what it was. And then all of a sudden, his old buddies that he was hanging around, that he had quit hanging around with, his old buddies were telling him, look, you know, that church and them church, a bunch of hypocrites, I wouldn't give you a dime for a box full of church people. I wouldn't go back to that church if it was the last. Listen, I don't even want to have my funeral in a church. And they'll start shooting their arrows at you, which is their bitter words against God's house and against God's people and against God's ways. And all of a sudden it starts working on your mind a little bit. And you start believing that nonsense. And the next thing you know, your life is about as far away from God as it possibly can be. And you know what you've done? You've stepped out of the way and said, come on in, devil, come on into my house. And here's what happens, guys. Don't you listen to me? Don't you listen to me real good? Here's what happens. You start having a permissive attitude toward your wife and children as a cover for your own guiltiness for things you're doing. That's what happens. You start pulling the hand back from correcting your children because they ain't doing anything that you ain't on the side wanting to do to begin with. Your boy goes out, he goes to somebody else's house, and he found out he's drinking liquor over there. Well, you're not going to come down on him because you've got a little bottle hid out and stashed out in your truck. You're not going to do anything about it. Now, you have been slain by the sword, and your wife and your children are in captivity because of this. That's how it works. This Bible's right. We don't like it when it's right sometimes. But this Bible's right. Proverbs 5. It's where it's going to get uncomfortable. My son, attend unto my wisdom. Bow down thine ear to my understanding. That thou mayest regard discretion. And that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a who? Strange woman. You know who that is? That's that gal in that movie that had her top off in that movie you was watching. That action adventure movie. That's who that was. That strange woman is some of your neighbors that you see as you go down the road. You kind of look at them. Driving down the road. That's that strange woman. That's that gal on Facebook. I don't know what's behind this, and I show it to my wife every time. I get about 5-10 friend requests a day on Facebook because this, you know, the ministry. And I just go accept, you know, until I find out that they're actually trying to steal my people away or trying to be ignorant or something like that, then I block them. And every now and then, I don't know who, I don't know if this is by the mafia or something like that. Every now and then, I'll just, all of a sudden, this lady pops up chatting with me, wanting me to send her her phone number, my phone number, so we can hook up later. And I say, Lisa, there's another Jezebel on here. I actually wrote a woman, one time, I said, I'm married, you're a Jezebel hussy, and I want nothing to do with you, and I'm blocking you right now. And I did, I blocked it. I don't know who it was. You guys ought to be careful about that. The Bible says to love your wives, be not bitter against her. Love your wife unconditionally. Amen. Love your wife unconditionally. And be not bitter against her. And you all know why. Because our mind ain't right. And our wife just got done chewing us out for doing something stupid around the house. There's always a sweet talker out there that'll talk sweet and pretty to you. Look at that verse. For the lips of a strange woman droppeth in honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. There's always a sweet talker out there, guys. Always. And that's what you want. You want someone to talk sweet and nice to you and tell you what you want to hear. And there's always another one out there until you get her. Amen. You all think she's all that the other woman's going to be nicer than the first woman until you get her. And then she ain't nice no more. So then you say, you know what? You go after the third one. And then the fourth one. And they ain't no different. Love your wife unconditionally. Because she's out there. And while you weren't looking at her, she was looking at you. And the devil wants to use the strange woman to steal you away from being the barrier blockade to your house. See how it works? Quit watching them movies. Quit downloading that stuff on the internet. Quit chatting. Don't put up with that stuff. Zero tolerance. Put it out. Get rid of it. Walk away. And tell the devil, look, that's a weakness. She's pretty. This is my wife and kids behind me. You ain't having them. Stand up for your wife and kids, men. Don't be a jerk. Don't be an adulterer. Don't be a sleazy runaround. Don't be that stuff. God made you to be better than that. God gave you a position of honor over your house, over your children, over your grandchildren. It's a position of honor to stand and guard your family and guard your house. Nobody else in the whole universe has that position but you. Be a man. Do it like you mean it. And here's something very interesting. The lips of a strange woman drop as in honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Guys, you're not going to find another woman outside of your wife that's going to lead you to eternal life. Your wife is. The other gal is going to take you to hell. Just think about that. But I want you to notice that her mouth is sharp as a two-edged sword. You know how you fight a two-edged sword? You need something that's sharper than a two-edged sword. Amen. I read that. Her mouth is sharp as a two-edged. God, are you talking about the Bible, Mike? You didn't read the Bible right. The Word of God is not just a two-edged sword. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. So you know what you do, guys? When you got a strange woman, open it up. Start reading. Anywhere. And if God wants you somewhere else, He'll put you somewhere else. But this Bible will keep you standing so that your wife and your children do not go into captivity. Because that's exactly... Listen, devil don't want you. He don't want you. He wants what's behind you. He wants your stuff. He wants your wife. He wants your children. He wants your riches. He wants everything you've worked your life for to have. That's what he wants. I wouldn't let him have them. Now I'm going to give you an example. Knock comes on the door to Jim Sedgwick's house. Five agents out there from the United States government, federal government. They got Barack Obama hope buttons on. And they say, we're here to register and collect your firearms. And they're in your house, right? What are you going to do, Jim?
I sold them.
No, don't lie. Don't lie. He's not going to give them up, is he? Why? They're just pieces of iron. That's your stuff, Jim. Don't give it up. Don't let some guy steal your wife. Don't let him come get your daughter or your son. You cherish... Hey, guys! You cherish your wife as much as you do your power tools. And John Deere tractors. And more. Treasure your wife more than you treasure your tools, your cars, your guns, your plows, whatever it is. Treasure your wife and children more than you do those things. Take a stand, guys. Be men. Man up. Amen? Man up. You're wearing bib overalls. Amen? Act like a man. Act like a man's inside those bibs. Don't let somebody else have your wife and children. How dare you? Don't fall by the sword, guys. Don't do it. Let's bow our heads.